Some know it as the Boo Boo Zoo. The East Maui Refuge Center is a no-kill shelter for animals of all kinds. The facility has existed for 40 years and operates thanks to its volunteer staff that cares for some 500 creatures, feathered and hoofed. Catherine Cruz played a visit there recently and talked to founder Sylvan Schwab. It's a startling sight for folks who haven't seen the barn red compound, and there's definitely no getting away from the menagerie of sounds. From peacocks to chickens and pueo to deer, horses, and goats, such is life at the Last Chance Shelter.
The Boo Boo Zoo takes in, we take in orphaned, injured, animals in distress. Any animal that there is no place else to send it to. So there are a lot of other dog and cat organizations, but we do have, I have 109 cats here right now, but the ones we end up with are either ones that are going to be long-term expensive cases that most adoption agencies just don't have the facility to take care of. Lifelong cares. The area we're in right now, the cats are feline AIDS and feline leukemia positive, and we're the only facility in Hawaii that takes in cats that are feline AIDS and feline leukemia positive. So cats that need long-term care or immediate severe medical care, and the same with dogs, ones that are in critical care, if they're crippled or have some other kind of severe problem. But mainly it's the animals that there is no other type of facility to take it to. We got 58 goats right now, 35 deer, and hundreds and hundreds of various types of birds, fowl, anything that normal places just don't take in.
And I did see a peacock on the car out front.
Yeah, we have a lot of those. Actually, we sort of inherited those. There was a person across the road that used to raise them, and when she moved out, she left behind all the ones she hadn't sold, and so we inherited a lot of peacocks, and I've actually adopted a lot of peacocks out because for some reason my neighbors don't enjoy the screaming of a peacock at 2 o'clock in the morning. I know, hard to understand. I don't get it either, but you know, I guess everybody has their thing. But and yeah, as you might have heard, a rooster or two here and there. Yeah, I mean, the rooster problem, the chicken problem in general, is something that's all over the island. And actually, there was a citizens committee that approached the mayor about the feral chickens and roosters and trying to cure it. And he allocated $25,000, brought in professionals from the mainland to solve the problem of feral roosters and chickens. And after $25,000, they concluded that there's nothing you can do about it. Which is basically the case, because once a rooster impregnates a hen, she puts out fertile eggs for 2 years. So, you know, it only takes one rooster to populate the whole area, and chickens go out in the woods and have their babies, and so it's just going to keep happening. So, yeah, we've got a lot of chickens that we don't intentionally propagate. We neuter everything that comes in, spay the things that get spayed. Livestock doesn't normally get spayed. We neuter the males and that, but dogs and cats all get neutered and spayed. Yeah, basically, still, we're up to about 500 animals. It's around $30,000 a month is what it takes to run the place, and that's without any salaries. Everybody's a volunteer. You know, 500 animals, there's a lot to take care of there.
And you have plans to add a few structures on property?
Well, we are. Since we have, I mean, I just calculated last year we spent just under $70,000 just in veterinary costs. So we built a house that a live-in veterinarian can live in, and downstairs we're going to build a clinic, not just for our own animals, but we're planning on having a community clinic that will be strictly by donation as far as people having an emergency need with an animal, because I get calls weekly from people having to bring their animals in for emergency care, either sick or hit by cars, and it happens all the time. And with the cost of veterinary care right now, most places require at least $2,000 down to do emergency services, and most people don't have a couple of grand handy that they can just slap down to save their animal's life, and a lot of them are crying on the phone because they're going to have their animal euthanized because they don't have the money to have it cared for. And years ago, we had a good donation when I was trying to help out people then, but funds are at the point now where we're just barely paying the bills, so we decided that we need to build a structure that we can have a facility here, not just for our own costs, but to help the whole community out with emergency animal care.
And the last time I paid a visit here, you had you were a wildlife rehabilitation center as well. You had some poeo and some other endangered birds.
Well, we still do wildlife, but now instead of just rehabilitation, which requires euthanization if they can't go back in the wild, now that's why we have 35 deer here right now, because wildlife, when it comes in here now, it has to stay here because now we're licensed by the Department of Agriculture, who licenses zoos. And so now our permit requires that everything that we take in stays here. So there's a lot more paperwork involved, but at least we don't have to worry about being forced to euthanize healthy animals just because they can't make it back in the wild.
And you had a number of animals who were blind. I think a horse,
yeah.
A couple of deer,
a
dog.
Blind pig. We have several. I have a whole room of blind cats. We have 3 blind deer, a few blind goats. Blindness, some of it happens from trauma, and some of it happens from cataracts. Juvenile cataracts are very common, especially with wildlife, because if a female has any kind of bacterial infection in the uterus when she's pregnant, it's not unusual for an animal to be born blind. With juvenile cataracts. And so, it's not like it's debilitating to an animal, because once a blind animal knows its space, it gets along just fine. And like I said, I have a blind room for the cats, and there's a couple in there that are partially blind. But they get around fine. When you have blind animals, they have to know their area. That's all. You just have to provide that.
Right. So, but whatever the boo-boo...
Whatever the boo-boo is, we find a way. Everything that comes in through a veterinarian. So before we even start, immediate emergency care is taken care of. And then from then on, we have to do ongoing care. And I have a standing appointment every week with a vet to bring in whatever we need to bring in. And we have a couple of veterinarians who are part of the Department of Agriculture program who come in regularly and check things out here and make sure that everything's looking good here. And so, you got to stay on top of it. And it's a lot of work and a lot of money, but it's a lot of enjoyment, a lot of feeling like you have done something worthwhile. And that's what life is all about.
And the volunteers here, like you said, you have lots of loyal ones. At some point, do you ever think, oh, gosh, this is maybe more than I can handle?
That's why we have so many volunteers, yeah. It's definitely more than I can handle. Yeah, one person couldn't do this at this point. It's just, like I said, we have 15 regulars who are here every week. And, there's a lot of people who have a big heart for animals. And though most of them only come one day a week, they get their animal fix here because a lot of them live someplace that they can't have animals. And a lot of them are just lovers of animals that know what we're doing. It just feels good to take care of them.
And you did have kind of a benefactor at one point who made a donation that kind of got all embroiled in a lengthy lawsuit.
Well, anytime somebody leaves a lot of money to a lot of people, there's going to be people who are saying, it's all mine, no, it's all mine. And yeah, there was one individual who... When that gentleman was on his last years and he became a little senile, he signed papers that there was like 20 different nonprofit organizations that were benefactors. And, excuse me, this one individual had the whole thing signed away to him. And that's what the whole brouhaha was about. And it took a lot of lawyers and court cases and things to finally settle it out and prove that he was not of sound mind when he signed that document. And so in the end, everybody, got a good support that he had intended to leave. And even that individual who did that ended up getting taken care of as well. So nobody was hurt by the thing. But, yeah, he inherited literally millions and millions of dollars. And and lived a ripe old age. And, you know, when we live a ripe old age, some of us lose a little bit of our memory. And, you know, not me, of course. Not. Just because I'm over 70 doesn't mean I don't remember everything, because I don't remember anything, actually.
But does this place keep you young?
It keeps me going, yeah. Yeah, if you need exercise, you got no choice. Yeah, you got to do it. Yeah, and yeah, no, it keeps me going. I don't know if I keep me young, but it keeps me happy. Yeah, we love doing it. Can't imagine doing anything else.
That was Catherine Cruz talking with Sylvan Schwab of Maui's Boo Boo Zoo. The No-Kill Refuge Center hopes to raise money to build a new barn and open its community clinic as part of its blueprint for its future. For links, you can go to our webpage at hawaiipublicradio.org.